Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, and Curse Code and Crown, as well as 3 event podcasts with miniseries releases scheduled at random intervals: Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back to Curse, Code, and Crown, a live play Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition podcast featuring a fully original world and campaign. I am the wizard Cronox, Observer of Time. Curse, Code, and Crown features our regular voiceover artists and improvisers, Laura Elizabeth as the Orc Countant Eta and Princess Gwendolyn, Tyler Hewitt as Maka Deathcap, and Ryan LaPlante as Duncan Kindano, alongside our Dungeon Master, the incredible Tom McGee. So get ready for an adventure including thrills, chills, and hope for a brighter tomorrow. It's time for Curse, Code, and Crown!
Maka, after everywhere you've gone and everything you've seen, there is a comfort to finding yourself back in your swamp. As someone who doesn't put a whole lot of stake in, or stock rather, in physical things and sort of locations and all that sort of stuff, there aren't many places in the world that I think you feel a tie to or a draw to. But as with anything, having kind of been in so many extreme circumstances outside your control to this point, being in a familiar circumstance again is nice. Albeit with the shadow hanging over it of the cultists that have arisen in Jossie's name. Where's Maka at as you start to make your way into the swamp?
I think he's, based on the information he's received so far, he's drawn some pretty strong conclusions, but is still bearing in mind that these same people who have made these assumptions about the cultists have made some pretty strong assumptions about him. So
right. Yep.
Trying to approach things with, you know, an open mind, but to his knowledge, he is the only servant of Jossie, and what he does and what he is doing does not appear to align with what these cultists are doing right now so far. So that's where he's at. Yeah. Okay. Cautiously open-minded.
Fair enough. Gwendolyn and Duncan, both of you obviously know Maka pretty well at this point, as well as one can get to know Maka. How are you two feeling about this cult situation as you make your way into the swamp? Or perhaps more accurately, how are you feeling about how this will affect Maka? Like, where are you at with this sort of thing? I know we've had some hints of it, but I'm just curious to get a baseline before we head in.
I mean, I think Gwendolyn is just like, it's very much like, let's get this done to get back on the main path of what we're trying to do. Like, as in restore me to the, I mean, I want to help. I want this to go well. Cause obviously these, you know, Baka has been, you know, we've helped each other out. But yeah, there's a bit of a practicality, I think, to Gwendolyn's approach here of like, let's move this along.
Gotcha. And Ryan, where's Duncan at with this?
I mean, Duncan doesn't really know enough to have an opinion on the situation yet, because he's only heard like the guy who's kind of monetarily impacted by the cult. Like, he doesn't know if it's true or anything like that. I think for him, a lot of this, because they're in like the land of Jossi and Tortles, specifically in this of the three, this is going to be the one most driven by Maka, because this is essentially an internal affair to Bleen. It's not something that Duncan has the right to kind of come in and be like, no, your religion's wrong, I need this thing. Like, that's really not his opinion on how diplomacy would work. If they're really bad, he doesn't have a problem with if he has to kill people, but he also is not a form of justice on this land. It's one of those weird things where he's actually sworn an oath to protect Jossi in the cycle. So there's also like, Maka is both of those things to Duncan in a direct way. So it's kind of seeing how it goes. If they're perversion of Jossi, he needs to end it, because Jossi has seemed beneficent up to this point. So yeah, this is more like follow and then kind of cover for Maka, where Maka falls in a hole diplomatically, which seems to happen. He's ready to kind of step in and be the diplomat next to the king, which again, he's kind of been all his life. It's just switching to a Maka focus instead of a Gwendolyn.
Gotcha. Okay, great. So with all that in mind, the three of you kind of make your way deeper into the swamp. Maka, you find one of the many sort of, reed boats, that almost more of a canoe, but just an easy way to get across water. You yourself are very comfortable in water situations, because you've spent time here, but you're aware that your companions are less so. So the three of you pile onto one of those. And again, they're just kind of, there are a bunch of these, they're very cheaply made. And they're just kind of everywhere, because so many of the little kind of, as you get deeper into the swamp, the little sort of patches of ground aren't connected to each other. So rather than waiting everywhere, people have just like scattered a bunch of these around to kind of take from island to island. So you make your way through a few of these before reaching the familiar sort of area approaching you had a hut. Would that be fair?
Yeah,
Tyler.
Yeah.
So Maka's sort of hut and where he used to work and live. You can see torches ahead in the darkness. There are sort of a number of figures moving around. It's that kind of classic spooky like Louisiana swamp scene where you're far enough away that through sort of the vines and the trees you can see the torches very bright in the darkness, kind of moving around and doing things. You can see a couple of stationary braziers that have been set up that are lighting the front of Maka's hut and his sort of cabin. The figures appear to be going about their business, moving things around. They're dragging stuff. There's a small kind of pile of goods that they're arranging around the hut that you could probably assume to be the unrotted, whatever those are. And that is what you see. How would you like to approach?
Maka, should we just go in or should we observe? Like, what do you want to do in regards to this cult?
Well, yeah, I think first Maka wants to do a quick like smell test. Like, are they successfully getting these
bodies to decompose? Like, does this place smell of... No, it doesn't smell rank at all.
Okay. It smells... It's that same unwashed body smell. So there's definitely a stink to it, but it's not the smell of decay.
Okay. So then after doing a couple sniffs in the air, Maka would say,
we currently have no reason to use subterfuge that I am aware of. We shall announce our arrival. As a servant of Jossie, I expect to be welcomed, but be ready for anything. Yes.
All right.
And I will start to walk further into the torchlight, making no effort to conceal myself or anything like that. And once I'm in like reasonable speaking distance, I will say,
greetings. I am Maka Deathcap, servant of Jossie, gravekeeper of the Tortle. This was once my home.
There's kind of almost like an impact wave of everyone kind of like turning. It's that classic, you know, hero that everyone thought was dead shows up at the end of the movie thing. You know, you bow to no one, hobbits kind of deal. So they all turn and kind of look reverently. And one Tortle kind of emerges from inside your hut. And it does that like Obi-Wan Kenobi hood reveal, where it just kind of pauses with hands on either side of the hood and then flips it back. And you can see that he is, he's kind of a, for lack of a better term, a middle-aged Tortle. So, you know, he's been around for a while. Also, Tortles being somewhat long-lived, like he's you know, he's not new. He has painted in bright white the sigil of Jossie kind of onto his face, and is wearing what appears to be it's a combination of like things you recognize from inside your hut. So it's like one of your blankets and like a sheet that he's kind of stitched together into a robe of some sort that also has the symbol of Jossie. He just comes out and makes sort of a sign of the moon with his hand says, Maka Deathcap, you have returned to help guide us poor lost followers of Jossie. We welcome you. First among equals, he kind of bows low, and then rises and says, I am Peak Dripbrow, priest of Jossie, bringer of the wrath and the word. Have you come to help us with this evening's appeasement? Perhaps with you it will actually work.
I have come to speak with you. You are the leader here, yes?
In as much as one can lead when following, yes.
This is, to my left, Duncan Kindano, and to my right, Princess Gwendolyn, both of the Kingdom of Orville. Much blame has been placed upon us in some form or another for the events that have taken place in that kingdom. We wish to reveal the truth to the people of Blaine. And in so doing, we have also been tasked to speak with you.
Yes, yes, of course, it all makes sense. We must show them the truth that they are sinners, that their sin has doomed us all. Oh, yes, with your words and your return, finally, we will have the weight required to finally show them the error of their ways and punish them in the name of Jossie. And it's like mutters of agreement.
Maka like looks to Gwendolyn and Duncan with the face that you like may have never seen Maka make before, but it's basically like just the jerk off motion, but represented like facially like, oh, brother. And he looks back at them, he says,
reveal to me your findings. Show me this sin you speak of.
Dum Dums and Dice would like to invite you to check out their flagship podcast, Dum Dums and Dragons. It's a show where improvisers who've never roleplayed before journey into the world of Dungeons and Dragons. It features Laura Elizabeth as the wizard Alan, Tyler Hewitt as the thief Quinny, and Ryan LaPlante as a cleric named Butthole. Through their first season, these heroes experience the minds of Phandelver, but starting in season two, they step into a world of fully original adventures from the mind of DM Tom McGee. Follow them from the beginning of their quest through five more seasons and beyond. Check it out now. Dum Dums and Dragons.
As the rest of the group kind of stands around and stares like very, very attentively and creepily at you, like people in Midsommar, you make your way towards your hut. And you can see that it's now covered with those handbills that they were handing out. So they just kind of a number of these things, seemingly on different types of parchment and from different times. Some of them are starting to yellow with age. Others look relatively new, but it means that your entire hut flutters now as the wind blows, casting kind of a just a small sound of papery wings under all the conversation. Dripbrow brings you to the pile, and you can see now these are indeed bodies of turtles that have been stacked in a pile around your hut. It's getting to be a bit of almost a oh, Jesus, I can't remember the name now, but like fortresses used to build these around them. Forts, certainly in Canada, use them a lot, but just like it's a little hill now that encircles the encampment, almost like a barricade. With a sort of a hole towards the door so that people can come and go, which incidentally kind of makes it have that Omega symbol, but it's not here.
Palisade?
Yeah, something like that. It's basically when you just keep a bunch of dirt up. So like if anyone's charging, they have to run up and you can be waiting below to be like, cool, you're up and over. Stab, stab. In any case, the bodies are covered. They look honestly like an advanced, a lot of them, like an advanced version of the sickness you've already seen. Those sort of black tears. Very present, crustiness around the nose slits and the mouth. All of them have fungal growths on their flesh. You recognize sort of a Tiurai Maka, a mutated form of spore growth, similar to what your capabilities are able to kind of spawn and use. Peak says, ever since Jossi spoke to us, we realized that if nothing was done, her curse would spread and the world would fall. And thus we have been trying to appease her by bringing, he says very carefully, the dead here in an attempt to placate her wrath, but it seems it is not yet enough. We need more numbers, both in our ranks and in our offerings. Otherwise, she will continue to spread the curse, and it is getting worse. Several of these have succumbed to the curse itself rather than natural causes, as the early ones did, and yet none of them rot. The cycle is broken, Mark a Death Cap. We are all that can restore it.
And what do you do with these corpses?
We bring them here, and then we pray that Jossi will speak to us yet again and to find that this is a sufficient amount to slate her thirst for wrath and vengeance. So far it has not been, but we hope as the numbers swell, she will be appeased.
So when you say Jossi spoke to you, do you mean through, you know, the springing up of this curse, or do you mean there was a physical voice or an embodiment that engaged with you?
The earliest converts of the way of Maka Deathcap heard the voice of Jossi themselves. Many of us were aware of him and what he did out here in the swamps, and As a result, it was easy to determine that he was merely the first of us, the first among equals, and that we needed to follow his example. We know that Marka would often help the dead re-enter the cycle, but as the cycle no longer exists, we have taken on this form of his work, bringing them here to pray to Jossi.
Now, when you said bringing the corpses here, you really put a lot of emphasis on bringing. How are other people interpreting the event of you bringing this bodies here?
Yeah, can you roll me an insight check, sir?
That is an dirty 20.
Dirty 20, great. Peak seems a little concerned by that question, but then he looks to Maka, and like you can tell that because you're with Maka, he kind of views you as an extension of him. He's fallen into that classic trap of like he's labeled himself head priest while saying everyone is equal, and then the guy that they built the religion around showed up, and now they're all having to deal with the like of course, but also me, right? Problem.
Yeah, Jesus showed up when the Pope is around. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Just like, oh, I'm sorry.
what can I say? White. We don't care.
I just really like gold buildings. The Pope will always just be the Pope from the Italian Pope from Family Guy for me. Like, Pope, it's time to wake up and put on your hat. No, it's a stupid hat. Just always forever in my head. It's that Pope. In any case, no popes in this universe. Peak kind of realizes he's caught and says, there are some varying interpretations of our holy task. Some would rather continue to spin the wheels of commerce and profit rather than dealing with this very real curse that has befallen us. And the wrath of Jossi has only intensified over the past weeks. I know Marka left some time ago, but things have gotten so much worse. As a result, we have increased our efforts to appease Jossi by helping some people along, bringing them to her, the god of death and wrath.
So you've begun, shall we say, speeding people on their way to Jossi.
Ah, you understand. Of course, the first among equals would have companions who understand.
Tom,
and
how
there's
many cultists?
Mutterings of like, yes.
How many cultists are here, Tom?
There are about, I'm going to say at the hut itself, there are 10. There are kind of others out in the distance gathering things. But yeah, there's about 10 moving stuff around.
How many rounds would it take for them? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, let me get out my battle map, Laura.
Just unfurl it. Maka will... we'll say,
Peak. Is it yes, Peak Drip Brow?
He knows my name. Yes.
What was your life before this, before service to Jossi?
I was of the middle class of our society here. It was my job to ensure that we found sufficient staffing for the machines of profit. I assisted in helping people to find jobs and find helping employers to find suitable candidates to assist their work. It is part of the reason I've so successfully managed to recruit so many people to your cause, First Among Equals. But yes, I admit I was part of the very system that brought this curse upon us, and as a result, I must work to amend it.
And these many folk I see outside, they are here because of your influence, yes?
Yes, me and one other, and he kind of points to another turtle who she's like, looks like she's got like a bit of a, what's the name of the guy from Avatar and... Don't Breathe and...
Oh, the scary white military guy.
Yeah, white military guy. Yeah. So think like she's a turtle who has kind of that kind of face where it's just like, I always feel like that guy like stopped a grenade with his face at some point. Like he's not like, it's not like he's a handsome guy. Just, he always has that like craggy, like
he's intensity. A guy who could catch a bullet in his teeth.
100%. Like I've seen some shit. Like I got caught in a tornado and I just leaned in. And then it left and I was fine. Like that kind of guy. So she's got that kind of bearing, but he's incredibly shy around Maka. You can tell like she literally looks like she could like, you know, fuck a person up pretty badly, but is like anytime he looks over, it's just kind of like hiding a little bit behind one of the other cultists and like with a bit of a, like a lip bite and a bashful, like always looking over here kind of thing. But she raises, a hand that you notice is gauntleted and has kind of spiked knuckles on it and waves.
Okay.
Peak, I know in most organizations there are the more dedicated adherents and those who are, shall we say, new to the cause. Is there a central body who you would say are the most dedicated? Perhaps the ones who have helped others along, and are there others who have not yet made that commitment? Or is this... everyone is as dedicated as you.
He looks horrified and he says, I apologize, companion of the first among equals. We've been trying as hard as we can to help our more recent acolytes to understand the necessity of Jossie's embrace and becoming a child of Jossie. Many of them are having some difficulty fully embracing the needs of Jossie, and as a result, they are not allowed here at our most holy of rituals. They must earn their way here. Once they have helped someone across, they may join us in the ritual, but until then, they are not clean enough for Jossie.
Understood. So there are 10 dedicated adherents, all of whom are here now.
Yes, there are one or two of our more junior acolytes who are out spreading the word this very evening, but yes, we are the 10 most dedicated, and thus, of course, are worthy of the blessings of Maka Deathcap, who has arrived among us. And everyone's like, yay, except for Shira Irongrasp, who continues to kind of like awkwardly huddle behind her friend.
All right. Well, Duncan's going to see how Maka's going to play this, but Duncan just found out everybody in this clearing is open, like play ball for execution.
Yeah. Maka is coming to a very similar conclusion. Just got a couple more questions and a couple more things he needs to see. I think he'll like put an arm around Peak and kind of bring Peak in close and say, "No, tell me about this. Wrath, this wrath of Jossie you speak of."
Peak kind of looks at you a little taken aback. Like following our earlier example, it's like, wait a minute, didn't you write the Bible? Why are you asking me Bible questions? This is very confusing to me. He kind of nods, a little confused, but also not wanting to fuck this up because he rolled a 5. So he's certainly not going to let that brain get in the way. He says, "Of course, it perhaps was too early for you to fully witness the glory of Jossie firsthand. Surely you have noticed that the tortles of Bleen are sick and getting sicker. Yes."
Yes, yes, I have seen this.
The spores have stopped working. I know in your time they were becoming less potent, but now they have truly stopped altogether. As you can see from these, the unrotted, the children of Jossie, our sins were too much. Our use of her gift was so perverse and blasphemous that she has seen fit to turn her wrath upon us in punishment for interfering with her holy cycle. And thus, slowly, all of Bleen will die, as will the rest of this world.
uh, under his cape, Duncan has now freed up Mr. Bang and is just waiting for either someone to take a swing or somebody to yell for Jossie, and it's fucking game on.
Yeah.
And Maka will say,
peek in my communion with Jossie. There has been no indication of such wrath. Jossie set me on the path to find the source of this curse. This curse was befalling our people and the people out in the wider world before. It is what I was brought to Orville for. This is not wrath of Jossie. Jossie is above and beyond something as petty as wrath. Death and life are unavoidable. And so what purpose would Jossie have for revenge or punishment?
Peek actually looks at you a little bit sadly, moves out from under your arm, significantly less reverently in his movements. And you can see the rest of the cultists kind of also shooting questioning looks. Iron Grasp begins to kind of straighten up behind the person she was cowering behind. And Peek says, I understand, Maka Deathcap, that when you communed with Jossie, she still was merely the god of death. But that was before so much of her sacred glomera was consumed, processed, and taken out of the cycle. Your very tinctures, your very concoctions served as the base. The blasphemous Sundara, the exports our people have made. We have stripped away her flesh bit by bit, began to eat away at her muscles, her core. We have removed so much from the cycle. The Jossie you spoke to may have been above such things, but our Jossie requires us to make them all pay, that we, the faithful, may survive, and this world may yet again re-enter her cycle. But until then, it is up to us to make things right. I sincerely wish you agreed.
Maka?
I cast Blight.
This episode of Curse Code and Crowd Sound was mixed and edited by Laura Hamstra, and the campaign was created by Tom McGee. Our original theme music was composed by Landon Noblock, and Curse Code and Crown's logo was created by the brilliant Decapitated Markers. If you want to follow our players or our DM on Twitter, you can reach out to Laura at EL Hamstring, Ryan at the Ryan LaPlante, Tyler at Tyler_Hewitt, Tom McGee at McGeeTD, or you can message our whole company at DumDumDice. So please, join us again for more Curse Code and Crown!
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, The Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord of Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Chet Awesome Laser, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, Taryn Hefner, Cade Peters, Richard Cranium, Christian Mendez, Anna Zed, Eric Williams, Logan, Fire Unfriendly, Great Dane, Acrix, Cameron Ezel, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.